Listening to yet another episode of Nestorius Public Radio, and I am your host, aka
Nestorius.
Thank. And we're here live, motherfucking live, with my co-host, my nigga, Simon.
Simon motherfucking Kaufman, hypothetical, political, lyrical, miracle whip. I'm like butter, cause I'm legit, baby.
Yeah, sizzling, melting shit, you know what I mean? Anyway, we also got, you know what? Check it out. Last episode, Jack McGee, y'all know who Jack McGee is, motherfuckers, cause I posted the shit and you did go to IMDb and you did Google him. You went to, and you know who he is. Well, you know what? Jack McGee loved the show so much, he said, fuck it, I'm coming back and doing another episode. What's
they
up?
They made me come back.
Another episode.
Nestoria.
He's doing the fucking Catholic Nestoria. Bishop version.
We were able to land Jack McGee for two episodes because he lost a poker match. After today, he will be fully paid off on his debts.
I can't believe you guys got me to come back down here again.
Jiggity Jack McGee, well, say what? It's free. You jam to the beat, toe viciously. Sickly boop, bat, dibby dap, don't stop the rack crack.
Yo, Jack McGee, Nestorius and me, that makes three in Skid Row Studio. So now you know, if you want to go to the iTunes, download the shit real soon.
Suddenly, could it be the number one MC, furiously, with the 1, 2, 3, me, Simon, yo, and Jack McGee.
Yo, I feel like those three girls is keep on knocking on that door and say, get me out of here. Get me out of here.
Yo, I'm white and Jewish. Yeah, you knew this. Circumcised, girl. Look at my eyes, girl. Sorry, that's the last thing I'm going to say.
Yo, let me ask you a question. Are Jews the only people who get circumcised? Because Catholics get circumcised too, no?
Anyone can get circumcised. It just involves the scissors.
Just scissors? Right.
You need a scissors.
Okay. All right.
Well, I don't, you might need more. I don't know.
Because there is this thing.
But you know what's so ill about the Jewish people? The first time a Jewish kid gets drunk is 8 days old. They give him wine on his circumcision. Old school. Like, no anesthetic. You're not doing, like, these new shit. They got, no, old school. Give the fucking eight-day-old baby a little wine.
Manischewitz.
Yeah. Give him a little wine. Knock him out. Snip it, clip it, hit it, they spit it. And for that note, I'd like to give a mad shout out. Much love and respect to Rabbi Solomon Maimon, who performed my circumcision in 1978. A wonderful job. He did a marvelous, marvelous job. Thank you, Rabbi Maimon.
Big the fuck up to Rabbi Maimon. Big the fuck up for doing sterilized, circumcised circumcisions, man. Go ahead.
Got a bunch of loose skin here.
So, I mean, I don't know how we got into fucking foreskin and circumcision, but since we're on the topic, there is this thing out there where women are tired of cut guys. They want the fucking uncircumcised penile ejectiles.
Right.
What's up with that?
Mazel tov. I mean, whatever you want. Go for it. Who cares?
Yeah, sometimes it's just
you have
like
your options.
When I was a chick, I used to give it to me like having some extra calamari at the end of that rod.
Yeah. Calamari, Ferrari, and bubble bath.
You have option. Paper or plastic. I mean, you know, life's about choices.
Yeah. Just pull that sleeve back and have at it.
Do what you want.
Yeah. Just look into it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Search it. You know what I'm saying? Get with it. You know what I mean? Figure it out.
Look at it as an adventure.
You know what I mean? Figure it out. Right. Okay? Don't let us here at Nestorius Public Radio have to tell you every fucking thing. Figure it out.
Pull out your Mickey, Dickie.
You know what I'm saying?
And keep it to yourself because we don't want to know.
Right. We don't want
to
know.
You don't have to get weird about it just because you don't have to worry about turning yourself down. Just have at it.
Yeah, we don't want to know. Anyway, so last episode, we were talking about, we went all over the place. Jesus Christ.
I swear to God, I went home for that last week and a half, 2 weeks since I've seen you guys.
Holy
shit. Man alive, I need to go away for a while.
Yo, this shit is crazy, man. So I want to go back to a couple of films because you have done, you know, for an Irish kid from the Bronx who was a firefighter, you've done a lot of shit, dude.
I've been very, very fortunate.
Yo, seriously?
Yeah.
I've seen you. I've seen probably about 40% of your films, okay?
Right.
And TV shows, right?
Right.
But I didn't know you. So right. You know how you see these actors that you've seen them, but you don't know who they are.
They're that guy.
Yeah. But I always thought, you know, oh, that's that fucking short, overweight Irish dude. I never knew that it was Jack McGee. You know right. what
are
I'm
you
saying?
Are you going to give a rundown? Or if you want, I can. Give him a rundown of a bunch of the things this man's done.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
All right. He started off in Turk 182.
You didn't see that shit? You fucking need to Google it.
He was in Scrooged.
Scrooged!
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 We're getting Scrooged right now. You're going to get Scrooged.
Fucking
three
Scrooged!
Scrooging!
Lethal Weapon 2.
Lethal, come on.
You can hardly see them. I have famous one-liners. She made me want to go out and buy them rubbers.
But I do remember you in Lethal Weapon 2.
Right. Hold on, let me read them all. Born on the 4th of July.
What'd you play in that?
I played a senator from New York. I just saw Ron Kovic yesterday.
He was in the movie The Doors.
Right.
The Doors. 1991. That was Oliver Stone, right?
Yes, it was.
Backdraft. Cool as Ice with Vanilla Ice. Basic Instinct with Sharon Stone. Lethal Weapon 3.
Stop.
Do I have to? Stop.
Basic Instinct?
Yeah.
Come on, talk about that.
I was the cop that gives Michael Douglas, hosing the car off the sheriff up north, that gives Michael Douglas the information about her being a lesbian.
I'm going to have to see the fucking movie all over
again.
That's that famous leg scene.
No, that wasn't in that. That's the interrogation scene.
Okay,
everybody
interrogation
always asks me.
Right
they
there.
Ask me, did you actually see Sharon Stone's bush?
She's
actually a very nice girl, but I never met her until about a year afterwards. That's some shindig.
I'm sure she's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
I'm sure you should see her. Okay, continue.
All right. Crash and Burn. Book of Love.
Mm. Who wrote the Book of Love?
Baby, I love you. Yes, I do. It says so in this Book of Love that ours is the one that's true. Oh, I wonder. Who wrote the Book of Love? Chapter 1 says you love her, you love her with all your heart. Uh-huh. Chapter 2, you tell her, you're never gonna part. And chapter 3, remember the meaning of romance. And chapter 4, you break up, but you give a girl one more chance. All right, let's go.
Big up to the book of love.
For all your people out there writing the book of love in your life.
You know what? I do love doo-wop. That's awesome music.
It's the best.
You know, when I was a kid, and we're going to continue with his credits, but when I was a kid,
please.
There was a show called Bow Wow Wow.
Right.
And Bowser would be like the deep, right?
Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go.
Anyway.
Good night.
Right.
Go ahead.
All right. Back to the credits, son.
No. What I was going to say was that as a kid, I envied everybody who was born in the 30s to be, you know, like 35 to be 15 or 16 in the 50s. You
right,
know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because that's the time.
And I was born in 49, but that's the only music I heard because the radio and internet, there was nothing out there.
Right,
so I used to listen to the guys on the street corners singing.
Go ahead,
all right. Back to the credit, son. All right. Lethal Weapon 3, Miracle on 34th Street.
Hold on. He did Lethal Weapon 2 and 3?
That's what it says. Yep.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on a second.
Read up about it on your radio station.
Skid Row
Studio.
Did you say nigga?
2 and 3?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, continue.
Carry on. That's my guy. Showgirls. Rumpelstiltskin.
Rumpelstiltskin? Come on, man. Yeah. You bullshit.
The Quest.
The Quest.
Breakdown.
God
Between
Russell.
The Sheets. Thick as Thieves, Chairman of the Board, Out of Towners, Overnight Delivery.
Unbelievable. Unfucking believable.
The Flintstones and Viva Rock Famous.
Viva Rock Famous. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Stop.
All right.
Go ahead.
With Mark Story and Stephen Baldwin, I played the guy who's the boss at the quarry that gets the big rock dropped on his head.
Right.
And at that time, I was going through chemotherapy because I had just had found out that I had colon cancer.
Oh, wow.
But I did the chemotherapy and went to work. Cha-ching!
Big up to all you colonoscopy doctors!
To work and doing what you got to do in the face of everything you got.
Big up for you sphincter projectors.
You don't got to go to work. You get to get to go to work.
That's right.
So you were also in the movie Coyote Ugly.
Now, this is
what I want to talk about.
Go ahead.
Is that really about hogs and heifers? You know, in the meatpacking downtown, there's that bar, Hogs and Heifers. I was told that Coyote Ugly was a branch. It was a movie written about that bar, Hogs and Heifers.
Well, actually, it may have been. It may have
been from the standard.
Yeah, yeah. But believe it or not, the original Hogs and Heifers was on 95th and First Avenue between 95th and 96th Street. Because I used to. Yo, could I get a cigarette? Yo. I used to fucking roll and propol, you know what I mean, at Chino's Bar and Grill. There was no grill, but it was called Chino's Bar and Grill, where he sold it and it became Hogs and Heifers. That was the first one.
Very cool. There you go.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what the origination of that was, but I worked one day on it.
All right.
I'm a one-day wonder, babe. I like to work. I like to go out the door and work.
Yeah, in and out.
In and out. Like
Latinos.
Burger.
We're like, hi.
Ow. Like Irish guys on their kid brothers.
Yeah, my sister's in Ireland, by the way. Big up Elizabeth Rodriguez. Big up Brett C. Leonard.
Oh, the sweet innocent Elizabeth Rodriguez. She's the greatest little thing. She's not like the Irish girls with fat ankles and no tits.
Big up Ireland. Big up Land of the Leprechaun.
Big up to the homeland of Ireland, yeah.
Yo, for y'all that don't know, my sister Elizabeth Rodriguez was in a play last summer.
Yeah.
The motherfucker with the hat.
Yeah.
She was nominated for a Tony Award. Imagine
I know that
shit.
Yeah, that's
with
great.
With Chris Rock, Bobby Cannavale.
Right. That's some heavy hitters there.
Annabella Scorsia. Shiora, Annabella Shiora.
Sciori.
Scioria. Yule Vasquez. Yo, the shit was off the hook.
Wow.
The play was written by, Jesus Christ, Stephen Adley.
He's still writing?
Stephen Adley Gyrgyz. He's still writing. That dude
I
is
thought
off-
just the 12 dudes around who wrote that shit.
No. That
he's writing? Jesus writing some shit?
Yo, that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yo, back to the credit, son, because I want
to
say
back
a couple.
Back
to the credit, son.
The credit, son.
Yo, back to the credit, son.
Back to the credit, son. Back to the credit, son.
We're going to go back to the movies in a second because we have some things we want to talk about about Gangster Squad that you were in.
Yeah, we do.
But I want to talk a little bit about some of the TV show credits.
He was in the Wonder Years. He was in the Wonder Years. That's when I first noticed I had pubic hairs.
And you know what's wild? I did an episode of the Wonder Years in this new pilot that I did. I was talking to you about a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
It's called the McCarthys. Fred Savage directed the pilot, the McCarthys.
What?
Yeah.
Fred Savage played the young kid.
Played the kid.
Yo, check it. Big up Fred Savage.
Yeah, Mr. Savage.
Big up Fred Savage. I related to you, your wife's
good
poor
man.
Ass motherfucker.
Good man.
Big up. Tell us about the McCarthy. After these messages,
Actually, I'll tell you the truth.
We
received exciting news since the last time I saw you. That they haven't told us yet. They're still hanging us around for a while. McCarthy's about an Irish Catholic family in Boston, deeply
South
embedded. Somewhere in Boston, living in what they call the triple decker. All the middle-aged kids are still living at home. They're deeply embedded in a high school basketball program. I have a gay son, and he just wants to get the fuck out of that house from all these racist Irish motherfuckers.
Right.
And
why am I talking
like you all of a sudden?
Because it's all about the vibe.
And so that's the deal. So
Why are you talking like me, man?
Ain't nobody got no time for this.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Go ahead. Credits.
All right. He was on television episodes of Common Law, Castle, Players, Law and Order, Veronica Mars.
Yeah, but Law and Order don't count. Everybody's fine.
Without a Trace.
Cha-ching.
You were a cast member of Rescue Me.
Right.
What? Stop.
Regular. Four seasons.
We can bring the beat back.
That right there. We got fucking Mad Grizzle. Mad oodles of fucking trans fats on that shit right there. Rescue me.
Yeah.
That was one of these episodes on TV on FX. God bless FX. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
FX, a fucking unknown cable station out the fucking cracks.
Well,
it started
with USA with Monk, and then all of a sudden it started rolling out, and then
FX
was the big one,
FX took a chance on Dennis Leary. You know, Dennis Leary had done something prior to that, which
was The Job. For CBS, but it was too smart for the CBS.
It was too fucking smart and cutting edge, but it was the precursor to Rescue Me.
They didn't know what to do with the
They didn't know what to do. But you see it. You see the elements of Rescue Me.
You see it now on network. network TV.
No, I'm saying right. You see the foundation and the elements of Rescue Me on the job.
Yeah, but he could get away with that now with FX.
You can.
With the language and the...
Or some of that, some of those tones on the network TV. Right. So Rescue Me, great show. It's a play on words. Rescue Me, firefighters are rescuing people who are burning, but also Dennis Leary's character is an alcoholic.
Who rescues them?
Right. So, and you played the chief.
I played the chief, yeah. I played the guy that was Dennis Leary's boss for the first three years.
And you were saying in an interview that was unlike any other firefighter role that you had or any kind of roles that were on that type of show, because there was a backstory to you. You knew about your family. You also had a gay brother in there, right?
Yeah, well, they just took a look into the private lives of these guys as well. It wasn't only the stuff of Dennis. Of course, his character was the lead character in it, but it was smart enough. They branched off, and you got to know a little bit about the other characters in the that worked in the same firehouse. You know, because firemen, you know, a lot of firemen used to say, well, why do you make a fire department movie and when's you show what we're really like? Because if they did, it would be boring, because they're all pretty good guys. They work hard, they go out and they take care of their families. And what you have to have for any kind of entertainment TV, unfortunately, is conflict. So you had to have guys that were dishonest, guys that were cheating on their wives, guys that were drinking, guys that had problems. And I also had my son on that show was gay.
Right. You're cheating on your life, you're biting on your wife.
Your son may be gay, but it's all right.
That's right.
Nothing wrong with that.
You know what? At this particular time, since we have a pause, we're gonna give a big
applause.
A pause. We're gonna give a big up. Seriously, this is straight the fuck up. Big up. Big up to all your homosexuals. Big up to all you men and women that've been extradited for your individual sexuality. Big up for your freedom of choice, for you being a human being. Being judged, criticized, kicked in the shin.
To all the oppressed people out there, Jah live, one love, Jah bless.
Big up to all the states that have honored the right for gay people to be married. Big up. And on another note, fuck y'all haters that want to step into the motherfucking grill to people that want to just have a life and have the same rights that you and I have. Fuck y'all.
Big up to all you bars selling condoms in the bathroom just in case.
Yeah. And you know what, man? A friend of ours.
Their machines never work.
Anyway, go ahead. Forget.
Neither do the condoms.
Keep going on the credit. This
all
motherfucker.
Right, back
hold
to
on.
The credits, yo. The credits, yo.
He's not even halfway through Jack's credits. You know what's crazy?
We only have an hour.
And I'm skipping them. I'm skipping over ones.
We got another caller. Hold on a second. I just need to say this real quick. Caller, hold on. 1 minute. Fucking Jack has been in everything. I was flipping last week through the novellas. You played a grandmother in Simplemente Maria. This fucking novella. I said, that's fucking Jack.
I shaved my legs.
You were like, no, mommy. I tell you, you cannot marry
you cannot
that fucking
do that.
Guy.
I tell you, get out of the boca.
Okay, caller, thank you for being so patient. Hi, welcome to the Nestorius Public Radio Show. What's your name?
Rosemary.
Oh, hi, Rosemary, my sweetheart, my love.
I just had to call in because I love Jack McGee, and I think that Jack is, I'm a director, and I think one of those rare actors who he is, on screen, off screen, he's down to earth, he's awesome, and I think it's hilarious that Jack, you start talking like Nestorius when you're there, and I think, I want to give a big up to Authentic Voices.
Big up to authentic voices, man. Big up to individual voices, people who express themselves saying fuck you to the establishment.
Big up to TV directors who are stuck in TV and should be doing their own feature film. Fuck Paradigm!
No, seriously, Jack is a wonderful person to work with. And the other thing I want to give a big up, because I love that everyone will know what I go through living with Nestorius for almost 20 years.
This is like being
on the inside of his brain.
Nestorius the Contagious.
Big up to Mrs. Rosemary Rodriguez for putting up to the AADD.
Big up for me!
Big up to Mrs. Rodriguez for putting up to the bipolarity. Big up for putting up for the electrostatic hairdo that you see on the Nestorius Public Radio icon.
You all y'all wives.
Silver skies ahead of you.
Silver skies.
Big up to Silver Summer Skies, a new script that's going to be developed and produced and made into a film. That's right.
All right.
So since you directed
Jack... Anyway, I think you guys are doing a great job. So thank you.
Hold on a second. Since you directed Jack...
Hey, she's giving me a compliment. I can't even get a compliment here.
Come on, let's get it over with quick.
No. Get a compliment. Get your compliment on. Go ahead, honey.
Simon serves a good steak, and he's hilarious.
Oh, thank you.
Tell Simon.
Thank you.
Tell Simon right now on the air who made the most bombastic fucking ribeye steak, a T-bone steak last week.
Yo, I hate to say it, but you did.
Yeah, because he does that well. But let me ask you this. Maybe Simon can ask a question for you, Ro. Ask Simon where the chocolates are that you gave him.
The motherfucker left him at a homeless shelter.
I care about the homeless.
That's right.
I care. Oh. You know?
Yeah.
Okay, so what I want to know is you did direct Jack in at least one episode, no?
Yes.
I directed an episode of Castle.
Absolutely right.
You cast Jack because he's fly like that.
She picked me.
But you didn't direct him on Rescue Me.
No.
No, I did. I missed directing Jack on Rescue Me. I think that character that you played on that part was profound and beautiful.
Yeah.
And what you went through with your wife and who you were when you were in the firehouse.
Yeah.
I think you had a three-dimensional, real live person.
Yeah.
And I think to accomplish that on television is a beautiful thing.
But thank you, babe.
You covered Alzheimer's. You covered fucking homosexuality and racism and sexual bigotry. It was a three-dimensional character.
Well, to give the credit, too, Dennis Leary and Peter Tolan were responsible for the writing of it, but it was a great opportunity. And that kind of came from a conversation with Peter Tolan about my brother Tom, who was gay, and my dad, who died in 1974. My brother Tom died of AIDS in 89.
Oh, wow.
And how much my dad loved my brother Tom, but he came from a time period where they just didn't know how to say it.
The
communication
up,
wasn't there.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that all came about after that conversation. Next thing you know, the scripts were coming out with me having a gay son, so it was a great thing.
I read that, but I thought you were talking about...
Well, let's say big up to collaboration!
Big up to collaboration, man! Big up to collaboration!
To all you gay Alzheimer's people out there, big up, big up!
Stop collaborating with each other from every opening you can find!
To all you gay Alzheimer's victims that don't know what your sexuality is except when you read it on TV. Big up!
I don't know if I had sex with him last night because I don't remember.
Big up! I don't know if I like pee pee or caca. Big up! Big up!
Gay Alzheimer's gives new meaning to the word I'm confused about my sexuality.
Big up to Peter Tolan and Dennis Leary for writing some of the most craziest undercuff type shit, cutting edge. Big up Peter Tolan. Big up Dennis Leary. I know you're listening out there, Dennis. Big up. Thank you, Rosemary, for calling in.
All right.
I love you. Bye.
Can I go back to the credits real quick?
Yo, please.
Because we have Malcolm in the Middle. You were on a television show of Malcolm in the Middle.
In the middle, y'all.
Charmed.
Malcolm in the Middle.
Touched by an Angel. You were on Touched by a Puerto Rican with Nestor Rodriguez.
Well, that was just that one weekend.
That was just a week ago.
Yeah.
I touched
that.
Touched by a Puerto Rican at the Holiday Inn.
I said, if
is
your
that a hotel?
Acting, hotel,
motel,
Holiday Inn. For Snizzle, if your girl starts acting up, I said, then you take her friend. I'm Master G. I'm on Mellow. It's on you. So what you gonna do?
Yeah, I'm a Jew and I thought you knew. I come through to the studio. Yeah, we park up out in the shit when I drop the chocolates. You rock it when I get it, when you know I don't stop it.
All right. He was on Chicago Hope, NYPD Blue, X-Files, Spin City,
NYPD Blue, that was Dennis Franz, right?
ER.
May he rest in peace.
E to the motherfucking R.
Oh, he is? Oh, you know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about Law and Order.
Jerry Offbacher.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I just killed.
Chicago Hope. Baywatch. Brooklyn South.
Baywatch. Hold on. Stop. Baywatch. Titties. Asses. Jiggling. Hitting.
You were on The Jeff Foxworthy Show.
No.
Seinfeld. Pacific Blue. NYPD Blue.
NYPD.
Murphy Brown. The Wonder Years we mentioned, MacGyver. Yeah.
MacGyver?
Yeah.
Twin Peaks.
Yep. That was Tom Selleck, right? MacGyver?
No.
Damn.
No,
I'm
no it's Magnum P.I. MacGyver's shit. The guy that if you gave him a piece of dental floss, a Tic Tac, and a shoestring, he could bust you out of somewhere.
I'm 0 for 2.
You're 0 for 2, son. Twin Peaks.
Jerry, I just fucked up two beautiful people.
That's okay.
Twin Peaks, which is set up in Washington State.
Hey.
Roseanne. Hey. L.A.
Okay,
Law.
Okay, stop. Roseanne, talk to us.
Yeah.
Talk to us.
I moved the refrigerator in, had two lines, and they paid me ticking.
Was she nice?
Yeah, she was okay. I know nice. Johnny Goodman. Johnny Goodman and I started with each other back in New York. Johnny Goodman played a husband. Me, him, Jason Alexander, Eddie O'Neill. Bunch of guys that started back doing commercials back there. And one by one, we come out here and started working.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fun.
So you all knew each other from back in New York before you came to L.A.?
Yeah, like you guys. You know guys from that you run into and doing stand-up. And,
some of them owe me money.
Yeah, some of them owe you money. Sometimes you owe them money.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, L.A. Law. But here's the one that I saved the best for last.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Night Court.
Oh, shit.
I got to tell you, I have a copy that I should show it to
you. Night Court.
Hilarious.
Okay, let's talk about Night Court.
Right.
Because when I was, I do stand-up comedy, but I never had stand-up comedy influences.
Right.
Yeah, I thought it was always, first time I saw stand-up, I was like, oh, shit, that's what I do anyways. And in the middle of class, I never like had any influences in stand-up. People say, well, who are your influences? Some of my comedic influences were more like Eddie Murphy in movies, John Candy, the Chevy Chase movies, but also Night Court. Because Night Court was funny shit.
Harry Anderson and Johnny.
I still use to this day, I use a line that was hilarious from John Larroquette. Remember that character? He played
of course,
the sleazeball.
Yeah,
and I've played a sleazeball at certain different times in my life.
He was one of the judges, right?
When I'm on vacation.
He was a lawyer. He was the prosecuting attorney.
He was just a male whore.
He was a trip.
You know?
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah. We had a soul connection. And he had a line in there that he goes, women, can't live with them. Can't do most positions without them.
Exactly.
So true.
No, it's very
so
funny stuff.
True.
Yeah. It was a great experience. I played a guy named Fast Eddie, who the only time that Charlie Robinson, who was the black guy that was that played the court clerk, he retires. He's getting
Mac?
Out.
Was it Mac or something?
And I take his spot and screw up the whole system for one day. I have that on tape. I should show it to you, Nestor, sometime.
I think I might have remembered that.
Yeah,
but he left because he was mad or something.
He left because he was mad, and he finds out that I screw it up so much, and
they need to bring him back.
He's back.
Yeah,
that fat sweaty guy that comes in.
How amazing! Was Bull.
Bull was great.
And then wasn't Marsha Warfield? Marsha Warfield. And she's a stand-up comic.
Yes,
big stand-up comic.
Yeah.
She was on there and they played the bailiffs.
Right.
And then Harry Anderson was stand-up.
Right. Yeah, he had a great juggling act in the stand-up act up in San Francisco where he used to juggle different items and then eat apples and stuff. He was a terrific.
Did you go to the cafeteria ever?
The cafeteria? I didn't shoot.
Did you ever shoot in the cafeteria? The cafeteria was great.
No, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a kick. That was back in the early days, back in the mid-80s. Yeah, a long time ago, man.
No shit.
I wonder if I'd like that if I went back and watched it. You know, sometimes you like have things from your childhood.
Yeah, you have a memory.
But also because the evolution of TV shows changed.
Yeah, they get dated. It's like going back and going back and watching West Side Story or something like that. You go back, you see it, you say, okay, this is what it is. But it changes because the laugh tracks and all of that stuff.
I used to love it. Yeah. I used to love it.
Evolution, man.
So now, one of the things we also really wanted to talk to you about was a movie that was recently released this year. Okay. You were in Gangster Squad.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Gangster Squad was something that I was working. I was doing a show down in New Orleans, which is a great town, a show called Common Law. And they called me and they said they're checking on your availability for work 2 days on this thing called Gangster Squad. I said, all right, what's it about? They told me who was in it. They told me what the premise was, the character I'd be playing, and the time period. And I was interested in it because it takes place in 1947 with the Los Angeles Police Department.
Well, so what'd you play?
I played the captain that I forget what his name was in the film itself.
The gay Alzheimer captain?
The gay it was called Shifty.
Stop it! I don't even know what I'm saying stop it for.
Let's be a bit, let's I don't want you to stop. And it was great. I wound up having a good time. The movie did okay. It wasn't exactly a blockbuster, but it was a period piece. I think it was shot well, and I had a great time.
Who were the players on
this? Sean Penn. Sean Penn was in it, and Ryan Gosling.
Did you actually get to work with Sean?
Yeah, well, we did one quick passing scene, and I also got to work with...
Mr. Gosling?
No.
It's all right. It's all right. It happens to us, man.
Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin. Oh, he's great.
He's amazing. Together.
Yeah. Yeah, Josh Brolin.
The movie, the poster looked dope. I wanted to see it.
Yeah, and you know what? It did okay. It's just that there wasn't a lot to it. It looked well. It was nice. It was a good... You don't want it being a good rental movie.
I think other powers outside of that kind of made the movie... Kind of cock-blocked it, because at the time when the movie was slated to be released, it had to be pushed because that's the Aurora and all that bullshit.
That's right.
With the gun violence.
Right. There's
a lot of gun violence in that movie.
And it was due to be released about 3 weeks after the shootings in Colorado happened.
Right.
And there was a scene in the film that took place, a shootout scene at the Chinese Man Theater.
Right, right.
And they of course, being sensitive to that, they pulled it and they did some reshoots. So there was hype about it, and then it went away. And when it came back, they had switched it out and put another scene in there.
Well, you know, there's the whole gun debate in this country right now, and people are trying to take away guns as if they have power, you know, when really they're inanimate objects. I mean, I think, you know, what's living and breathing is the fact that here you have a movie in which they're shooting up a movie theater.
Right.
The movie theater that got shot up in Colorado. Okay, and this is the first, this is what I think when I think of that shooting. It was during the movie Batman, which was filmed in my neighborhood in downtown New York when I was living there.
Right.
The movie, if you said, Simon, what's the movie about? I would say it's about a tyrannical madman who walks around a city killing innocent people.
Right.
So, America, don't be alarmed and don't even be upset that during a movie you sent your children off to watch about a tyrannical madman walking around killing innocent people, that a tyrannical madman killed innocent people. You don't even have a chance to be upset.
Well, no, here's the deal. I think you're right on the money with America. Don't be upset, as opposed to America, do be upset. What are we doing? That's all they have on the air is violence. Right. It's all they have with these games. I don't play them.
Right.
But there's something out there to be said about that.
The conversation is, what are we going to do to, of course, we say prevent, because there's no fucking absolute way of preventing anything,
right?
But what are we going to do to, A, safeguard our children, safeguard our, you know, public, the welfare of the public, safeguard our schools, safeguard our malls? What are we going to do? What can we do?
Well, I think it's more than a full-time job. Go back to the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, when Ronald Reagan just purged everybody that was getting mental health because he had the cutbacks.
Right.
He threw everybody, the mental health department just went completely berserk because he just let people out.
Right.
And the funding stopped.
Right.
And these are the same guys that are bitching and moaning and saying that it's, and it isn't the individual.
Right.
It's not the individual. I don't know if you guys have, but I don't have guns in my house.
Right.
I don't have AK-47.
For a reason? You don't have guns?
No, I just don't. I don't want to live in fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very rarely, not that I should mention, very rarely do I find myself locking my car. I don't want to live in fear.
But how about preparedness? Maybe not fear, but how about preparedness? There's the other argument.
They're holding on to that Second Amendment, and Lord knows people that are much more intelligent about it have been battling this thing around.
Right.
But I think and there is a big issue about the mental health of young kids.
I'm with you.
You know, there's a certain stigma about being embarrassed, and teachers and people in local authority and local responsibility being afraid to say to somebody in the system, hey, this child is borderline, could be dangerous. There's a stigma that gets behind that that gets washed away.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Listen, here's how I look at it. If we sat down and watched a porno, we would get turned on. If we walk into a place while a steak is cooking, you're going to get hungry.
Right.
It's the next logical conclusion that if you're going to watch gratuitous explosions, violence, mass shootings, you're going to want to go cause explosions, violence, and mass shootings.
Is that why when I'm listening to gangster rap and death metal when I'm driving on the freeway, I feel like crashing into people?
Well, there it
yeah.
is. Is there a correlation?
Well, it is. Well, yeah, because you and I, we're adults, certainly of legal age, we can choose to go to a film or not.
Right.
These kids get this stuff down their throat 24/7 since they're 2 years old.
Right.
Well, every time they go to buy a Big Mac or a Burger King or something like that, they're getting some violent character thrown in their bag, and they're told that this is the way it's supposed to be done.
Right.
For you and I, it used to be Dale Evans and Roy Rogers.
Right.
And maybe that was like a puritanical relationship. What? But the fact of the matter is, it wasn't all about Leave It to Beaver.
Right.
But they don't let kids. There's a great singer-songwriter that I know that just, I heard her play a song the other night. It says, can't we just let the children be children for a little while?
Oh, yeah.
And it's wonderful.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is, that's the almighty buck.
Right.
It's the almighty dollar. People are making money on it. They're going to just let everything slide.
I'm with you. It is a mental health issue. Mm. Forget the Second Amendment.
Right.
Put that shit aside. I heard somebody, I think it was Bill Maher, say, no one is going to fucking whip up weapons to overthrow the government.
Right.
Okay? That's what the Second Amendment is good for. You can't even get fucking five people to agree on one thing, let alone the whole country to overthrow the government.
Right.
Forget the Second Amendment. Right. I was more concerned with preparedness, mental health. What are we doing about that?
Mm.
We were just talking about in the previous episode about preparedness for fire. So there's preparedness for everything. What are we doing about preparedness for, let's say, a burglar comes into my house? You know, I don't know where I stand on the issue 100% because this is not a black and white issue.
Right.
I don't have a gun in my house.
Right.
And I toss and turn. Well, should I have a gun in my house?
Mm.
You know what I mean? How about if somebody comes on my property? I'm a homeowner now.
Right.
People come onto my property asking me for this. Get the fuck off my property.
Well, you also have the advertisers on TV 24/7 and you see it commercially, it's done kind of in a shrewd way where they're scaring you on TV when they show you a commercial about a window being broken, the mother and the daughter sitting in there, and they're frightening people into getting an alarm system.
Right.
I mean, it's never ending. It's the advertising. It's the way it is. It's the almighty buck these days.
No, it is.
You know. And you see parents, and I give them a lot of credit for limiting their kids to a couple of hours, 3 hours worth of television a week.
I have an article here, okay? Group aims to give out free shotguns in 15 cities. This is straight up.
Right.
Okay? This is CBS Chicago reports. The group made the bold announcement at a convention in Texas. And as you might imagine, it is causing quite a controversy. The group is called the Armed Citizen Project. And as their name says, they want to arm citizens by giving them shotguns. They aim to give out shotguns to people in 15 cities, including Chicago. Okay? Now, they've already started giving out the guns in Houston, where at least four mothers have received free shotguns. The group's founder says they give the free guns to people living in medium to high crime areas so they can defend themselves from criminals.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
What's wrong with that? Here's what you have. Okay, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. You have these left-wing douchey liberals that are like, total peace, gluten-free, blah, 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 right? Okay, and we know that's not the answer. We can't let soccer moms run the United States anymore. We know that's not the answer. On the other hand, you have these like, you know, in the country, racist kind of, you know, typically racist. I've been there. Don't tell me you're not. You are. Okay.
I'm a racist.
And gun toting. So that's the right and the left. Okay. But you know, the thing that people in the city don't realize about life in the country, the sheriff is 40 miles away. I need a gun to protect myself. Here in downtown Los Angeles, something could happen, and as long as we hold out for 4 minutes or 5 minutes, the police will be here to protect us.
That's not the case
out there. Not to mention, you have coyotes, you have wolves,
roosters,
you have real shit.
Well, hold on,
you got bears out there.
You also have. If you have a shotgun out in the country, I think you're in good shape. Do you need an AK-47?
Right.
That's it.
Well, check
it.
The group says it's our hypothesis that criminals do not want to die in your hallway. We think that society should use that fear to deter crime.
Shoot them outside.
We're giving folks the tools with which to defend their life, liberty, and property. We're training them how to use the weapons and empowering citizens.
I think it's great. I think it's great.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Now, let me tell you something. This is one thing every liberal needs to understand. The mafia will always have guns. You will never pass a law.
But we're not defending ourselves against the mafia.
Organized crime, crack dealers, car theft rings.
But we're not defending ourselves against those people.
Home burglary rings. Yes, you are.
No,
you are.
A mafia guy is not going to come into my house unless I make some good spaghetti.
If he wants to come for you, he will.
On the day of my daughter's wedding. Right. Yeah. You come to me.
What I'm saying is this.
You give me crack and I say to you, you come to me and you ask me at my daughter's wedding. What have I done to insult you?
If I want to buy some crack.
And I say to you, ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
What I'm saying is this. The liberal argument needs to understand, okay, criminals will have guns. The laws you're trying to pass are to take them out of the rest of people's hands. If you ban handguns in this country, it's to take them out of the hands of mothers and grandmothers.
Liberals aren't doing that.
What they're doing is that all they're asking for
is that you register or you have...
Take a mental health test. Yeah.
Sure.
Hey, callers.
They want to regulate it more.
1-800-893.
And the NRA doesn't want to let you do that.
1-800-893.
And they're working scare tactics on the people. They're scaring people.
Well, I think both sides are. But the NRA, I mean, the NRA gets ridiculous. That's the problem is like the spokesperson for the gun people are just absurd and ridiculous.
I got something on the NRA. Before we continue,
I got a screenplay.
Callers, you're out there. 1-800-893-9562. This is a hot topic. If you got an opinion, if you own a gun, if you want to shoot someone, call us. 1-800-893-9562. We're live. SkidRowStudios.com, the Nestorius Public Radio Show. We're talking about gun control. We're talking about violence.
Shotgun.
You know what I'm saying? So here's the flip side. Teen shoots 6-year-old sister with handgun. Okay? See, this is a multifaceted argument. You got mental health. You have the right to protect yourself. You have the irresponsibility of fucking people. Let me tell you something. I'm going to go on a fucking 30-second rant. Motherfuckers in this country and the world, we're all human beings. If you're an adult, you need to take fucking responsibility for everything and anything that you do. That means if you have a driver's license, take responsibility for the way you fucking drive so the rest of us don't have to pay higher insurance fucking rates. If you own a gun and it's registered, take responsibility. Lock it up. Train your kids on how to use it. Don't keep it loaded. Fucking take responsibility.
Look, though, here's the thing. Teen accidentally kills 6-year-old sister with a handgun. I'm willing to bet $50 that in the last 12 months, a teenager accidentally killed their little sister on a jet ski. How come we're not outraged at jet ski manufacturers?
It's the way the media portrays it. Jet ski, if it's sitting out in the water or if it's sitting on a lawn, isn't capable of killing somebody.
Right.
This is the reason. If you own a gun, you leave a gun. Right. I don't have a gun, so I don't leave one loaded around the house.
This is in Florida. According to the Broward Sheriff's Office, the shooting happened Saturday at about 7 p.m. in Oakland Park. Detectives say that the siblings were home alone, okay, when the 13-year-old boy found a handgun and shot his younger sister.
But that's been happening forever. In the 1400s.
Taking his lunch.
In the 1400s. I'm willing to bet somebody accidentally killed their little sister with an axe during a wood chopping accident. That is an accident.
That's
what's called an accident.
They must have been Latino. They left them alone.
It's a tragedy. It's an accident.
It's a tragic accident.
You think it's okay to leave a loaded gun around the house?
No. What I'm saying is it's an anecdotal example that should not be used in the gun control debate.
But doesn't somebody have the responsibility? No, sure, I got you.
That's all I'm saying. That's just an isolated incident.
Checks and AK-47. And the NRA is going to tell you that they're taking all your guns away.
I got the NRA. Here's the good news, and then we'll wrap that up.
The NBA.
I got the NRA. Well, we talked about balls in the other episode.
We're going to talk about it.
All right. The girl was transported to Broward Health Medical Center in critical but stable condition. Okay, so check this out. Big up, whatever your name is. I hope you make it through. And next time, get a knife and stab your little brother in the neck. Okay? Stab him in the fucking neck.
Hey, come on, what happened to you?
Oh, shit.
Yo. We are children.
No, this is a violent episode. The other episode was about love.
Don't stab
your brother in the neck.
We definitely need to continue to put in laws and safeguards and institutions to help decide who gets guns and who doesn't.
That's a good point. Now, here's the deal. There's a company, okay? The company that has just, it's called, what's it? Defense Distributed, just put out the world's first 3D printable handgun.
Right.
Okay? You can get a printer that prints out plastic and you put it in multi different layers and anyone can have a handgun. Anyone.
That's my point. You know, we think we're such a violent society. We are far less violent than the Middle Ages when two men would hack each other to death with swords and axes.
The turn of the century.
At the turn of the century, there were times in American history where governors and mayors would have high noon duels in the middle of the street.
Right.
We're far less violent as a society.
Because you question their word.
What I'm saying is, instead of attacking violence, violent implements, and violent acts, we need to attack the mental, back to the, I think we've been to bring it full circle. The reason people are so violent, yes, it's mental health.
Right.
It's overstimulation of the mind because we're in an evolutionary period of the brain where we're never before have we had so much sensory inputs given to us. But it's the guns. Go to a Blockbuster video if it's still around in your area.
Yeah, good luck.
No, I challenge you. Do this. Walk up and down the entire aisle. Over 80 to 90% of the movies have a gun on the front cover.
Right. Absolutely.
Comedies, right. Kids movies,
right.
Cartoons.
Born-again Christian revivals.
National Geographic Explorer documentaries.
Yeah. Cooking shows. Yeah. How to bake cakes. They all have fucking shotguns, guns, AK-47.
Nothing like a shotgun cupcake.
Yeah. And check this out. There's a new NRA president, Jim Porter. I don't know how new he is, but he's new, relatively speaking. Jim Porter. You know Jim Porter?
No.
Have you heard of Jim Porter?
No. Wonderful man. We played golf last year in Arlington.
Here's a quote. It's only a matter of time before we can own colored people again. What?
It's just a matter of time.
That's what he said.
Time.
He said, it's only a matter of people when we can own colored people. That's right.
Maybe. It's just a matter of time.
Maybe he's talking about Teletubbies.
Let me read the article.
All right.
Houston, it seems new National Rifle Association president Jim Porter may have found himself in a bit of hot water.
Uh-oh.
Not long ago,
Jim Porter.
He made his feelings about the Civil War known when he referred to it as the War of Northern Aggression. In that same speech, he referred to President Obama as a fake president and Attorney General Eric Holder as a rabidly un-American. However, none of those remarks that anyone could deem as racist compared to his remarks made at a recent press conference discussing his new leadership role at the NRA. I'm very proud to be taking the lead here at the NRA. We need to really buckle down and strap on our best arguments to defend what is our God-given rights.
God.
No more.
God. I love it. God gave you guns. That's right. It was God.
No more Northern folk try and take away what is rightfully ours. I will not stand by and let some liberal elitist try to ruin what has made this country great, especially a liberal of, you know, a different breed. When asked to clarify, Porter said, I don't have to clarify. You know gall darn well what I mean. In fact, it's only a matter of time before we can own colored people again. They sure as hell won't be our leaders. It's outright embarrassing. The War of Northern Aggression made it all possible. And you'd be best to know it's all going to change back. I'll be on the front lines making sure it happens. I don't want my grandkids growing up taking orders from a colored man. It's our God-given right to keep them as property and keep them in line.
I keep my pants up.
Where'd you get that article?
Hold on a second. Google the shit.
What did you say, nigga?
This motherfucker is out of his mind. Several at the NRA, including Vice President Wayne LaPierre,
have since tried to
distance themselves from Porter's remarks. LaPierre said, they brought him in all over me to try and liven things up, calling me boring and rehearsed. Next time, they'd be better off just making me president.
Oh.
I got this from freewoodpost.com. That's all I got to say.
Oh, that's a reliable source.
Oh, Freewood? Yeah, Freewood.
Freewood.
Yeah, you got this from a guy giving out... Dude, that's what you get when you get your newspaper articles from a guy giving out free wood on the highway.
Well, I'm just reading that. Big up to Free Wood. Big up to Free Wood.
Free Wood. Free James Brown.
Big up to Wayne LaPierre. Big up to Wayne LaPierre, Vice President NRA. Big up, man.
Rains or freeze as long as I got my plastic Jesus riding on the dashboard of my car.
I want to do a little PSA. I want to just do a little plug for one of my favorite CBS shows, Vegas. If you haven't watched the show, watch it this Friday from 9 to 10 p.m. on CBS. It's the season finale. You have to watch the show. If you haven't watched it, watch the season finale. But do me a favor, get a pencil and paper and write an email to the president of CBS, David Stapth. I'm going to spell the name. His email is David, D-A-V-I-D, dot S-T-A-P-F, at CBS.com. Write him an email and write the executive director of communications. This woman is in charge of communications for the show Vegas. Jennifer Solari. Jennifer, that's J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R dot Solari, S-O-L-A-R-I at CBS. I'll repeat, David, D-A-V-I-D dot Stapf, S-T-A-P-F at CBS.com. And Jennifer, J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R dot Solari, S-O-L-A-R-I at CBS.com. Write them a letter, an email, very nicely. Put Vegas on the subject line. Tell them this is the best goddamn show that was ever on fucking network TV. Tell them, what the fuck are you doing? Don't use the F word. But what are you doing to keep the show on the air? We need good shows on TV, and this is one of them, okay? Do that. Do that for Nestorius Public Radio. You'll be happy you did it. Trust me on that. All right?
All right.
You know what? One of the counter arguments, though, to the, you know, to saying, if you say, well, we don't want to take their guns, we just want to create a couple more different laws regarding. The problem with that is, and I understand a little bit where they're coming from, is that if you look at the way this our government takes away rights, it's always a little bit, a little bit. You know what I'm saying? They don't just come out in once. You know,
that's the fear. That's the biggest
fear. That's the fear. It's like, you know, if you...
What rights have they taken away from you?
The right to masturbate in public.
The right to travel.
That's one of them.
The right to go in and out of Canada and Mexico without a passport or a government-issued ID that tracks you.
The right to fucking take water into a plane when and then have to buy fucking water at the airport. The right.
Really? Are you really going to give me that idea?
Yo, I'm serious. That's more rights.
Okay. All right.
You know.
This is what.
But in all fairness, I
check the right to
check it.
Needing a warrant to tap my phone.
That's George W. Bush.
Well, I'm saying is they don't do it all at once. They do it little bit.
They vaporize under your door.
You know why? Because the whole adage: if you put a frog in boiling water, he'll jump right out.
He speaks French.
If you put a frog...
He's like... Bonjour, mon frère. You put the hot water on the boiling cycle, please. Lower down the temperature.
We'll add a little soon. Oh, this fucking water is hot in here.
Rivet. Okay, listen, we're going to get off the fucking gun tip because we only have but like 6-7. How much time do we have, Nicky Demas?
Keep going, man.
7 minutes?
Like, no, keep going.
Yeah, I love it. Yo, keep going, yo. He's like the guy.
He said that a day and a half ago, man.
Yo.
His eyes are bleeding.
He's like
that young boy's eyes are bleeding.
Big up for Nicodemus. Big up to Nicodemus. Big up to all the motherfuckers in the control room. Big up to SkipRockStudios.com. Wipe up, big up.
He's like the guy on the side of the marathon handing water. Like, keep going, man. Keep going. You got this.
We're going to do... Big up to downtown, D-Town Burgers. Big up, D-Town Burgers, D-apostrophe Town Burgers. Big up. Big up 216 West 6th Street in Los Angeles, California, 90014. Big up. Big up to iTunes. Big up to Tyson Sanna. Big up to Dan Krenzis. Dan Krenzis for bigging us up on the iTunes review board. Big up. Don't forget to review us. Don't forget to put 5 stars on the iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Go to iTunes. Go on the podcast. Go on to Nestorius Public Radio. Put up the fucking show. Go to subscribe. Download every episode. You will know that you've done something right. Get your vitamins and minerals. Know what I'm saying?
Support for NPR comes from the Holland Chocolate Foundation, providing chocolates on the counters of 7-Elevens.
We'll do another one of those. All right, so what else do we got to fuck around with? We did guns. What did we talk?
Guns, son.
Okay, the last movie I want to talk about, because we got Jack McGee for about another 5 minutes. The last movie I want to talk about is Crash.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
I loved Crash. And I read that you, it was a one-day shoot.
Right.
For you.
Right.
And it was the director called you, the director, right? He called you and said, oh, we need you. And you were like,
Paul Haggis. Paul Haggis. Series. He and Bobby Moresco wrote it.
Correct. And he directed it.
Yeah.
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 So, and he wanted you to play a pawn shop owner or a gun shop owner?
Gun shop owner.
Yeah. And the scene is the woman is fucking freaking out because I think they broke into her house and she wants to put a new lock on her door.
Her father in the store, somebody broke in. He wants to buy a gun to help defend himself.
And she goes into the store and she's asking for all these fucking bullets and shit.
Well, she doesn't ask for the bullets, but I played a gun shop owner who starts the madness and the anger off because he's speaking broken English. He's not sure, and I can't understand him. And I start off with a pretty racist remark and say to him, "Listen, Osama, why don't you decide what gun you want before it gets dark out?" And that starts the madness off. Right.
I love that movie. You mentioned that movie is about people's fears.
Right.
And the thing, which is true, but there are a lot of elements to that movie.
Mm-hmm.
One of the elements that I enjoyed, it's an LA movie.
Right.
The Los Angeles movie. Unless you've lived in LA or come to LA or spent some time in LA.
Right.
An LA movie like was it Michael Douglas? The fuck was the name of that movie? When he goes on a shooting spree.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Right. The one where he plays the guy that's traffic. He's nuts in traffic.
Right. Unless you've been in L.A., I'll get the name of that movie in a second. Unless you live in L.A., it doesn't matter. It's just another part of town. But in L.A., traffic is a big fucking part of our culture, of our daily lives.
Right.
You know, getting from point A to B, if it normally would take you fucking 5 minutes, it could take you an hour, depending on what freeway you're on.
Well, that's because geographically, you have to have a car in L.A. There's pedestrian traffic in big cities.
Right.
The same stuff could happen. The same personalities, the same people, the same fears. All of that stuff happens in every major and minor city there is in the country.
Right.
Where people cross about each other. It wasn't so much about the traffic as much as the crash was the thing about they used the example of there being the crowd, everybody coming together.
Right.
But it's the fear of the cop taking care of Matt Dillon's character taking care of his dad.
He was great.
He was
that.
Wonderful, and you hated him. He was an asshole.
Big up to Matt Dillon. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a terrific
Matt's
guy.
Matt's a good guy.
And his brother Kevin. I did the Doors with him. We did a run on Entourage. And, you know, it's all about fear.
My favorite line in the movie, I believe it was a line, it was a voiceover, it says, I think, or maybe somebody said it, I think people in L.A., we spend so much time in our cars isolated from each other, and I'm paraphrasing, that I think people in L.A. crash into each other just to connect with them.
Well, there you go.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I think that's the line. You know, it's a brilliant.
You come from New York, too. You come out of your house in New York. I grew up in a building that was 750 people lived in my building, 10 buildings within 2 blocks. You had pedestrian traffic. You got to
associate. How do you know I come from New York, bro? That's racist.
I could tell. I was just by your French accent. But out here, you have to get in your car to go see your neighbor.
Everybody
pulls in and out of driveways.
What's interesting, though, about New York is that you can live in a tenement and never see your fucking neighbor.
You can.
That's a trip.
You may never communicate with them a lot, the little old lady on the ninth floor or whatever, but you always see somebody coming in and out of the building. You're dealing with people all the time. You don't have to get in your car to go to get a quart of milk. You right. walk down to the candy store, in your case, the bodega.
Right. Passing the bodega, I say suave. All the motherfucking people just say, hey, hey. You want to get a bag of popcorn or the chips? I say, fuck that, nigga. I want some Kool-Aid. Jam to the beat. Don't stop. Say what? Wipe my glasses and blow you a snot, because I'm coming down from the north side to the left. Motherfucker, I used to live on the East Coast. Now I'm on the West.
Those who live in Brooklyn know just what I'm talking about.
I used to have diabetes, but now I'm shouting gout. Anyway, what do we got? We got a couple minutes. Hey, what do we got, Nicodemus?
You made the Rain Man
What do
laugh.
We got, a couple minutes?
The Rain Man was laughing about that shit.
I'm just thinking I'm trying to wrap it up in an hour, or should we just keep going a little over an hour?
I have a car coming for me.
No, I'm saying, should we keep it to an hour, or should we go a couple more minutes? I just want to keep it within the format.
We're trying to keep the format. We keep the format. Okay. Yo, I use your motherfucking ass like a floor mat.
Okay. Yeah. Because he's the lyrical, the illest, the motherfucking killest. Don't stop to the jillest. He's got the economical, the ecological, the pollution in the membrane. Say what? He ain't insane. Because the guns are getting clocked, the Glock, the pop, and you don't stop.
Yo, I'm just chilling, like Matt Dillon, still in the game after all these years. I don't have no fears like that movie Crash, because we're going to outlast and blast on your monkey ass.
Word. One last thing, man. My paintings, if you're interested, I'm also a visual artist. You can go to my website, Nestorius, NESTORIOUS.com. I'm going to be in an upcoming art show May 18th. It's Saturday, May 18th.
Where's that at?
That's going to be in East LA. Orale vato, eh? So it's called Not We But One. It's a music and art event. It's going to be at the Vex Arts Center, 5240 Alhambra Avenue, LA, CA 90032.
And what's the date on that
hey,
again?
Hey, Saturday, May 18th. It's going to be some jazz music. There's going to be some paintings. If Jack's in town.
Is there a website?
I'm going to take them. Is there a website? Let me see. I'm not sure if there's a website. No, but my man, Omar. Omar is the
tent maker.
No, Omar is the gallery owner. And La Mancha Gallery is his gallery. So go on LaManchaGallery.com and check it out. If not, not We But One music and art event Saturday, May 18th. Again, I'll say that address. It's at the Vex, V-E-X Arts. Check it out. Google the Vex, 5240 Alhambra Avenue, Los Angeles, California, 90032.
Will some of your paintings and artwork, will they be for sale?
Oh, yeah.
They'll be for sale.
Bring your checkbooks. Everybody bring your checkbooks.
I'm pretty sure it's a cash crowd.
Yeah. Omar Helguin, I believe is his last name. I'm bad with pronunciations, but the shit is, it's going to be pretty dope. You know, it's nice. We eat. We fucking,
You get to meet Nestorius.
Shake some hands. Bring your checkbooks,
and
please.
And who knows? Jack McGee may be coming with me. So you Jack never know McGee. Who you're going to roll
Not
with.
Not a fucking chance in the world.
Anyway, I think we're about wrapping up the show. Man, this shit went so fast,
oh,
Jack.
Oh, yeah. It just seems like almost like an hour.
Jack, you're magically delicious.
Yeah, baby.
Much you love to saying? Jack McGee. The man Much got love. His start in the movies in Turk 182 with Much my love. Grandparents.
Unbelievable.
One thing about my grandparents, I didn't get a chance to know them too much, but in the house I grew up in, we had on the wall a ticket, the actual ticket from the March on Washington with Martin Luther King. Those same grandparents were at. So that was always cool. It's still to my parents' house to this day. They have the actual admission ticket.
Sell that.
Sell it?
Yeah,
it will be sold at Omar. If you could get us a buyer, Omar, at Omar. Nestor's.
Omar Sharif.
Word him up.
So now you're off to
No, I'm just gonna end it at chit 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 ching. Cause that's for you, baby. Then we're gonna say our formal goodbyes. That's right, motherfucker. Jack McGee, he's going to be in a new pilot. I don't give a fuck what they say. That shit's going to get picked up. Jack McGee is going to be making some ching. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to see him in New York next week because that's how I am. Prophetic. I'm fucking positive, optimistic, all types of shit.
Autistic.
You have a website, Jack?
No, I don't have a website.
Who's your representation?
I'm represented by APA and Karen Semler Entertainment.
In Beverly Hills.
In Beverly Hills.
Google that shit. You want to hire Jack, man? Call his agent and fucking make something happen. You can check me out, NestorRodriguez.com. You can check out my paintings out at Nestorius.com. You can check me out on Facebook, Nestorius, and you can follow me on Twitter, NestoriusNYC. What's up with you, Simon?
Yo, Simon Kaufman, the Emerald City Kid, the Golden Boy, the man you need to read about at the Judah Monk. Comedian Simon Kaufman, Facebook, some shit, / what the fuck, Simon, www, that's three W's, SimonKaufman.com. Check me out, book me, if you're a comedy club owner, fucking book my ass, I'm trying to pay rent, bitch, I'll make everybody fucking laugh, I don't ever leave a crowd unwrecked, I'll wreck any fucking crowd, any mic, any stage, any night, any light, rock it.
To the top, don't stop with the cock. I'll fucking, you don't chill and ill and pop.
I'll do stand-up comedy in an underground parking lot, MC battle rap style, while Koreans wave dollar bills in the air. I'm fucking hilarious. Fuck that shit. Book me. And don't forget, everybody out there, that support for NPR comes from the parking lot across from the studios, providing parking last minute because we were late.
That's right. All right.
Talking shit. Y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way long.